God is on the throne, and as we worship Him and gather together, we experience His blessings. And so I want you to open your heart to the Word of God this morning, because I know He has a message for you, and I know your hearts are ready to receive. So let's, if you have a Bible, I know we have the Bible on the line and everything else, but I still carry my old sword, and I want to read Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Lord, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. Hallelujah. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. And as I was meditating and praying on this passage of scripture, I thought that this is a message that's relevant for us today. And I forgot. I was supposed to mention that Pastor Jeremy's going to be here speaking on August the 16th, I believe it is. Right now, he's at our house, and we're over at Naomi's house, and they're on holiday. So we're traveling along, Moira and I. So it's great. Jeremy and Teresa and the kids are, quarantined or isolated for 14 days. So we're out of the house for 14 days. So I kind of get the feeling of a nomad going from one place to the other place. But praise the Lord. God's watching over our family, and we just praise the Lord for His blessings. And as we look into this passage of Scripture, I know He's watching over each one of us. I've entitled my message, "Dealing with Criticism." Now, I don't know if any of you have ever faced criticism, but I think you all have. Because if the perfect man faced criticism, surely we, who are not perfect except in Christ, will face criticism. I think criticism is something that, everybody faces. But it's amazing in this passage of Scripture when it talks about Jesus. Jesus, the Holy One of God, faced criticism. And He taught the people that mere external laws could never save them or make them holy. True righteousness had to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. How you serve God, how you live for God, is your heart in it? That's the key. And The Hebrew word sabbat means repose or rest, which explains why Matthew introduced the Sabbath conflicts at this point. Because remember in the previous chapter, at the end, Jesus says, "Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The only rest for your souls is found in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, I plead with you, come to the Lord. He's the one who will give you rest. He's the one who gives us that peace in our hearts, that security, knowing it is well with my soul. You know, you'd be criticized by many people, but when you know Jesus, he's the one that gives you that rest and that peace and that calm. And Jesus offers rest to all who will come to him. And there is no rest in mere religious observances. Just coming to church, you know, if your heart isn't right, it's a nice thing to do, but it's not going to give you rest. You need to make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. And when you know Jesus as your Savior, then you have that sweet peace. Jesus offered rest to all who will come to him. It was lawful to satisfy your hunger from a neighbor's field. And we see here as the disciples were going through the field with Jesus, they were picking some of the wheat and eating it. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, 24 to 25, "When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat grapes until you are fully satisfied. But you shall not put any in your basket. When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain." But to do it on the Sabbath, according to the scribes and Pharisees, that was wrong. That was a tradition of the scribes and Pharisees. It wasn't written in the law of God, but the scribes and Pharisees were known to be hypocrites. Like many religious people, they're so holy, but they point their fingers all the time and they're accusing people. That's what these guys were like. Pharisees were critical of the disciples of the Lord. And in this passage of scripture, Jesus teaches us how to deal with criticism. That's what I love about our master. He teaches you how to live. He teaches you how to deal with situations in life. And I know we have all faced criticism. It's part of life. And Jesus teaches us how to handle criticism. And I love my precious Bible and the Word of God and how he shows us daily how to live. This is not just a book for Sundays. It's a book for every day. You should be reading your Bible every day. Get into the Word of God and grow by the Word of God. So in this passage of scripture, Jesus teaching us how to deal with criticism. And there's, you know, two aspects of criticism. When I criticize you and when you criticize me, right? There's that twofold coin. People are criticizing us, but there's also the point where sometimes we criticize others. Jesus deals with both of those issues in this passage of scripture. He's showing us how to deal with criticism. And I think the first way to deal with criticism that we see Jesus modeling before us is to use the scriptures. By using the scriptures. And in verse 3 here it says, "But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" Hallelujah. Amazing. Jesus knew the law of God. Jesus knew the Word of God. And he handled the criticism of the scribes and Pharisees by using the living Word of God. It's wise for you and I to do the same. When people criticize us, use the Word. The word is powerful. Jesus cited the example of David when he fled from Saul to the city of Nob, where the tabernacle was kept at the time. And there David and his men ate the consecrated bread that was set apart for the priests. And after it had been brought to the Lord as an offering, certainly the Son of God had a right to eat his father's grain from the field. And if David broke the law and he was not condemned, surely Jesus could break man's tradition and be guiltless. Jesus quoted the word of the living God. The example of the priests in the temple on the Sabbath day, they break the Sabbath, but they're innocent. The priests had to offer a given number of sacrifices on the Sabbath, and yet they were not condemned. In fact, their service was in obedience to the law given by God. And this suggests that man's tradition about the Sabbath were wrong, for they contradicted God's own law. And then we have the quotation in this passage of Scripture from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. The Sabbath law was given to Israel as a mark of her relationship to God. But it was also an act of mercy for both man and beast to give them the needed rest that they needed. God knew how we were made, and he knew we needed to have a rest. And so in every week, there's a day that you should rest. And that's the principle that he taught. It's not the idea, you know, that you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that and all of these things that the Pharisees were looking to criticize. It was an act of mercy for both man and beast to give them needed rest each week. You know, any religious law that's contrary to mercy and the care of nature should be looked on with suspicion. And that's what these guys were. They were given laws above and beyond the revelation of God. They gave laws that were they didn't really need. God wants mercy and not religious sacrifice. He wants love and not legalism or criticism. Love is to be the primary in our actions and our reactions. The Pharisees who sacrificed to obey their Sabbath laws thought they were serving God. When they accused Christ and his disciples, they thought that they were defending God. Many religious people are like that today. They always think that you have to conform to their understanding, to their way of thinking. You must conform to their way of thinking. That's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me to conform myself to God and his word. Get in line with the revelation of God. Know the word of God. Understand his word. And you will have the blessing of God. When people criticize you, know the word of God. I remember as a young pastor, I was in my 20s, and pastoring, and one dear old brother said, "What do you know about Pentecost? You're just a youngster." And I remember, I was a pastor, and I remember how the Spirit of God brought to me, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example." And Paul talks about that to Timothy. Know the word of God when you're under criticism. Know the revelation of God. Understand the word of God and use the scriptures. Use the scriptures. The second way Jesus teaches us to deal with criticism is to look to Christ. When people criticize us, look to Jesus. You won't go wrong. You'll never go wrong when you look to Jesus. When you look to Jesus, he's there. And he's going to be with you. You know, note that Jesus appeals to the prophet, the priest, and the king. In verse 6, he says that, "I say to you, something greater than the temple is here." And then he says, "But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Hallelujah. Jesus is greater. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And in this chapter 12, you find three statements that Jesus made. First, as the priest, he is greater than the temple in Matthew 12, verse 6. The second, as the prophet, he is greater than Jonah. And the third, as the king, he is greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ is the greatest. Set your eyes on Jesus. He will never forsake you. He will help you with criticism. When you're criticized and you feel so low and you feel down and you have a hard time sleeping at night because these people have criticized you and all the rest of that, hey, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's not criticizing you. His hand is upon you because he loves you. Because nobody loves us like Jesus. And when you walk through that valley of criticism, how awesome it is to know, my God is watching over me. My God has his hand upon me. He will deal with the critics. Leave them in the hands of God. Trust the Lord. Because God is walking with you daily. If you have him as your Savior, he's there. He's always there. Call on him and you will receive his blessings. Get your eyes on him and he will never forsake you. He will help you with criticism if it's against you. And also, he will deal with you if you're the critic. If you're criticizing, he's going to deal with you. I know when you criticize something and it's not right, the Spirit of God will come and convict you. That's the awesomeness of living for God. That's the awesomeness of knowing Jesus Christ is our Savior. He teaches us every day. He's with us. He gives us comfort, encouragement, and strength when we need it, when we're being criticized. But if we're wrong and we're criticizing, he also brings conviction and line, get you in line with his word. So good to walk with Jesus, to know he's keeping us on the straight and narrow. God's commands us to observe the Sabbath is an expression of mercy, recognizing the limits of the human makeup and requiring us to care for the body and the mind that he's entrusted to us. God's focus is on people, not on regulations. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. You see it. He's more focused on the people, more so than the regulations. Love needs to be our primary aspect in our lives. In this section, Jesus declared that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. You know what he was saying? He was actually affirming equality with God. For God established the Sabbath, remember, in creation week. After he had created everything in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. And that was a model, that was an example. And that was instituted by Almighty God. And Jesus is saying, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, which is saying that he is God the Son. So he's making a statement of deity, qualifying himself equal with the Father. And then he proved his claim by healing the man with the paralyzed hand. It's sad. Very sad that the religious leaders used this man with the handicap as a weapon to fight against Jesus, the Son of God. They used him so that they could trap Jesus. The Lord was not afraid of their threats. I love studying the life of Jesus. You see, he doesn't walk in fear. Jesus walks in confidence, knowing that he is God the Son. That he has a Father who has designed his purposes and designed his steps. Jesus Christ walks with faith. He doesn't walk in fear. And that's how we need to walk, brothers and sisters. With this pandemic and everything else that's happening, there's so many people walking in fear. You know, God's on the throne. God's watching over his children. God is with us. Don't walk in fear, walk in faith, knowing that the steps of the righteous are guided by the Lord. There's nobody going to do you harm. You trust the Lord. Walk with God and He will direct your steps. Hallelujah. Not doing good on the Sabbath day or any other day when you have an opportunity is evil. When you have an opportunity to do good and you don't do good, that's evil. Jesus argued that if a farmer could care for his animals on the Sabbath, shouldn't we care for man who's made in the image of God? Good logic. That's the logic of my Savior. And he's arguing with these scribes and Pharisees. He teaches us how to deal with criticism by using the scriptures and also by us looking at him, watching how Christ acted in these situations. He's the model. You'll never go wrong looking to Jesus. When you look to Jesus, he will guide you. But there's a third way to deal with criticism, and that's by being aware of accusatory questions. And verse 10, the Bible says, there was a man whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him? Here's the holy man of God on the earth, and these religious people are setting a trap for Jesus Christ. And so he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was restored to normal like the other. Have you ever said that to anybody? We got no power to say that. But God the Son had power. And he says, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out his hand and he was healed. That's because of the power of the living Christ. He's awesome. Stretch out your hand, he said. Then in verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. What a bunch of hypocrites, eh? Here are the religious leaders of Israel, and Jesus Christ comes to them as the Savior. He comes to them in power and majesty and glory. And the paralytic stretches his hand out and he's healed. You would think that they would be praising God. But inside they're so jealous of this master that they decide they're going to kill him. That sure isn't the Spirit of God. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So mercy is wrapped up in the heart of the Sabbath law. Jesus' actions then were consistent with the central thrust to break the law of the letter to fulfill its true intent is an expression of mercy and compassion. We can imagine the Pharisees accompanying Jesus to the synagogue to ensure that he walked into their trap, while others waited with the group at the synagogue with the paralytic man. They were setting this trap for Jesus. And their question was already on their lips. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Healing in their eyes would be work. And work was prohibited on the Sabbath. Jesus' enemies had taken the next step in escalating the conflict. And prior to this, they had reacted with criticism to his actions and his teachings. And now they were taking the initiative to trap the master. Can you imagine people trying to trap Jesus Christ, God the Son? Unbelievable. But that's what we have in the story of Matthew here, that these religious leaders were out to trap Jesus Christ. Now, if your heart's not right with God, some people are willing to do that. But if you know God, that should never be a part of our lives. Never. Before healing the man, Jesus came back to the Pharisees. And he answered their question. Their question is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? His answer was essentially yes. But he worded it in such a way that the Pharisees were embarrassed by the self-evident nature of the answer. What do you think? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? I think we would all say yes. Yes, it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And so, since the Jewish culture accepted the practice of mercy towards animals on the Sabbath, so much more should there be mercy for the people, right? It's okay for them to rescue their animal that falls in a pit. Should it not be okay for Jesus to heal this man that was suffering? I love the logic of the master. Jesus knows how to handle people. And you and I can learn a lot as we study the life of Jesus. This implies that everyone should know that healing is good and therefore acceptable, even on the Sabbath. And so Jesus said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. This implies that everyone should know healing is good. Having brought the common sense of God's original intent for the law into view, Jesus proceeds to act in consistency with his words. He practiced compassion towards the man with the withered hand. The power of the king's word was again displayed, for the man's hand was restored as he stretched it out. In this story, you don't see Jesus touching the man at all. He speaks and healing happens because there's healing in the word of the Lord. There's healing as Jesus speaks. And the guy is healed instantly as he stretches out his hand. That's fantastic to see the miraculous healing of Jesus Christ. This brought into the scene the element of surprise, displaying the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. I've never been able to say to anyone, stretch out your hand and be healed. But I know one who can say that. I know one who has said it. And he was authenticating his right to the title, the Lord of the Sabbath. In 12 verse 8, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath because he is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. In spite of such display of power and authority, the Pharisees rejected the evidence of Jesus' identity. And so they turned their back on the King of the universe, these religious leaders. They were blinded by their presuppositions and their vested interests, searching for the best method to kill Jesus. Murder was their intent. These people had only evil in their mind. They expected to embarrass and accuse him in their synagogue, filled with their followers. But Jesus embarrassed them instead, condemning them for their lack of mercy. Many more public interchanges such as this could undermine the people's trust in the Pharisees. And so they decided they needed to get rid of this troublemaker. They didn't see Jesus as the great Messiah. They didn't see Jesus as the Savior. They didn't see Jesus as the great healer. They saw him as a troublemaker. You know, there's many people that don't see Jesus right. As you read the living word of God, it shows us who Jesus is. It teaches us the reality of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who will set you free. Jesus is the one who speaks life into your being. Jesus is the one who's always there in whatever storm or trial you face. He's there. Whatever criticism comes, remember Jesus. Jesus is there. The wicked were out to kill him. Sometimes controversy or criticism can't be solved, but we must live holy anyhow and do what is right and good. Leave the consequences in God's hands. There will be some situations in your life that you will not be able to solve or see reconciliation. Leave it with God. Leave it with God. Walk with your eyes on the Master, because Jesus Christ is always there. This is the time you have to leave those in the hands of the Lord and press on serving Him. Jesus teaches us how to deal with criticism by using Scripture, by looking to Christ, and thirdly, by being aware of accusatory questions. Jesus Christ is our model and our example for criticism. He knew the nature of man and what was in the heart of man and those that came against him. Jesus knew. You and I have the Scriptures, we have the Lord, and we have His wisdom to handle criticism. Those who criticize you many times will not change. And Jesus gives us the example in His life of continuing to live serving the Father and leave your opponents in God's hands. On the other side of the coin, when you're tempted to criticize, remember the Scriptures, remember Jesus, and remember those who had accusatory questions. How was your heart? How was your life? Are you a critical person, or are you one that gives glory to God? What's your life like? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You know, if you don't know Jesus, it's so easy to come to Christ. Jesus has His arms open, and anyone can turn to Him if they want to. Jesus is always ready to change people's lives. If you have a problem with criticism and your heart isn't right and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm here to tell you Jesus has His arms open for you. And Jesus will save you if you'll come to Him. All you have to do is come to Christ and say, "Forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior." When you come to Christ and ask Him to forgive you and come into your heart, miraculously there's a supernatural change that happens. And we can't explain it. It is the encounter with the living God. And that encounter changes people's lives. It makes saints out of sinners. It transforms us from critical to loving, from being one that rebels against God to one that praises God. It's awesome when you meet Christ. You know His arms are open for you. You who don't know Jesus, He loves you. He died for you. And He wants you to come to Him. The greatest experience in life is turning your life to the hands of God, asking Christ to forgive you and come into your heart. I did that back in 1968, Christmas Eve. That night I knelt by my bed after I heard the gospel, and I knelt and I met the Master. And life has never been the same. I've never regretted coming to Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, He transforms your life. He gives you a life worth living. So I ask you, if any of you want to come to Christ, His arms are open.